No Sunday school books? Okay.
No, just use it.
All right. Now, they've stuffed all the kids' song in the back. I expect we could sing them all in the time we're here. But maybe somebody has a few songs that are not kids' songs, too. There's not all that many children here. Just these few four boys. Is there more children coming? Come on. Kids sit in front. Little kids sit in front. They'll encourage me somewhat. Okay. Yes. What song? Number 46. Glad, GIDINGSIBRING, that JSUS has come to SCBD, and he calls anybody else know another spelling song that's not in the book that you know already? There's one, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Do you know that one? Okay. Let's see if I can remember. There is no satisfaction without, do you know this? S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. There is nothing in Jesus to doubt. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Shout it out loud and clear. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. In this truth, take it now. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. What's S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N spell? Salvation. That's right. And it's good for us to take it now. Anybody know another song? It doesn't have to be in this songbook. Yes. B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E. There's another spelling song. All right. The B-I-B-L-E.
Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. L-O-O-D, Jesus shed for me, his life he gave my soul to save, the B-L-O-O-D.
The B-I-B-L-E I'll take along with me,
I'll read and pray and then obey, the B-I-B-L-E.
And Uncle Ed, you'll remember this one. At the tent we used to sing, Jesus can never fail, never fail, never fail. Jesus can never fail, no, no, no. Jesus can satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. Jesus can satisfy, yes, yes, yes. Good. I remember being at the tent. I was about, from the time I was 17 to the time I was 20-something, we went up to the New Brunswick tent. And Mr. Blennerhassett used to stand in the front, and he'd sing a song with an answer. He'd sing, what can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Good. You fellas are really, folks are really singing well. Okay, we have another song we'd like to sing. 47, all right. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own, like the stars above. Good. Did we get all the way through that? Sometimes I get distracted. Now, there's some kids that are sitting in the back row. This is Sunday school, and if you don't sit in the front row, I won't know what to say, okay? You guys come and sit in the front row, please. I know you're not exactly children, but if I could, I need some participation here, or I get confused and not sure what to say. All right, we just sang several verses of "When He Cometh to Make Up His Jewels." And what's that song say about his jewels? Who are his jewels and who is he? When he cometh to make up his jewels, who's he? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. And who are his jewels? Us. You really think so? How do you get to be a jewel for the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you get to be a jewel? You have to be really good? No? Yeah, that's right. You have to trust in him to wash away your sins, eh? The sins are those things that separate us from God, and we need to trust in him. Welcome. I'm glad you've come. Okay, we've got another. Let's sing some more songs. Actually, I've got a song I'd like to sing. The Stars of the Morning. Do you know this song, "He Made the Stars to Shine"? Did you ever sing that? I'm going to teach you a new one, all right? Is this thing recording, or can I go up here? Okay. Now, you got to stand up for this, all right? And these are the motions. You guys that are in the front, you can see the motions, all right? See the star. Right?
He made the stars to shine, twinkle, twinkle. He made the rolling sea splish, splash. He made the mountains high, so high. And he made me pumpity, 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 pump. And that is why I love him, because he bled and died. The Lord of all creation became the crucified.
Don't sit down, let's sing it again, all right? I want you to learn this because it's fun. And it's a good song. It tells you about the Lord Jesus.
He made the stars to shine, twinkle, twinkle. He made the rolling sea splash, splash. He made the mountains high, so high. And he made me pumpity, 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 pump. And that is why I love him, because he bled and died.
Now, there's a couple of things that we did that help us to understand who the Lord Jesus is. The Lord, what happened? What does this mean? Yes?
The nails in his hand.
That's the nails in his hand. What was the part we were singing? He's in the Lord. Let me see. Mountains high. He made the stars to shine. He made the... I have to sing it again.
He made the stars to shine, twinkle, twinkle. He made the rolling sea splish, splash. He made the mountains high, so high. And he made me pumpity, 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 pump. And that is why I love him, because he bled and died. The Lord of all creation became the crucified.
So he bled and died. How he bled and died? The nails in his hands held him up. And what's this?
The cross.
The cross. That's right. He bled and died on the cross. Not a very nice way to die, was it? It was a very cruel way to die. Men put him on the cross. Die because they hated him. You know, if you and I were in that world at that time and we knew the Lord Jesus, we may have been on the crowd, among the crowd that hated him too. We have hearts that are just like that. Just like that. They hated him because he said he was God. He said he was the Son of God. Oh, no, that would never do. And they crucified him, put him on the cross to die. But, you know, that is that the part that took care of our sins? That he died like this on the cross, and he hurt a lot. Is that what took care of our sins? That's part of it. But you know what? There was 3 hours where it was absolutely dark. Do you know what happened in those 3 hours where it was absolutely dark? No? Who can tell me what, who's less than 10, what happened when it was absolutely dark and the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross? What happened at that time? He was hanging there and he was suffering. And it was absolutely, utterly dark. What happened in that darkness? Somebody tell me. Okay, somebody who's over 10 can tell me. Oh, boy. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I'm gonna read a little scripture from Job, okay? Now, here's a fellow that lived thousands of years before the Lord Jesus came, and he suffered a lot. Verse 10 of Job chapter 16, it says this: they have gaped upon me with their mouth. We've heard that one before. It's in another part. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. That's what happened to the Lord Jesus on the cross, isn't it? But let's look at the next verse. God hath delivered me to the ungodly. God did that to his son. He delivered him to the ungodly. How come? He hath turned me over to the hands of the wicked. Read the last phrase of the 12th verse. He set me up for his mark. What's happening? God is punishing Jesus for my sins. There on the cross, in the dark, on that day, the Lord Jesus was God's mark. He was the target. And God took his arrows and he thrust him at his son. And he shot and he hit the Lord Jesus because he was punishing Jesus for your sins and mine. Do you believe that? He set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder. He doth not spare. He poured out my gall upon the ground. God did that for you. He punished his son in those 3 hours. Man had something to do with it. Man hung him up there and he hurt a lot. It was very tough for him. But in those 3 hours of darkness, God punished his son for your sins. And for mine. And that was much worse. That was much worse. It hurt him a lot more than hanging on the cross. You know, when he was in the garden, do you remember? Some of you know this story. When he went to the garden and he went in prayer. And the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was so afraid of what was going to happen to him. Here the Son of God was placed into the hands of man to be crucified, but he was also so afraid. And what was he afraid of? You know what I think he was afraid of? He was a holy and a righteous God. He was the Son of God, and he was afraid because he was going to be made sin for us. He could not have sin in his presence. As God, he could not sin, and he could not have sin in his presence, but there he was thinking about being made sin for us. holy, righteous God being made sin for us. You know, we haven't even prayed. I'm already taken off here. Let's sing another song. Anybody have a song? Even one that's not in the book, yes? Number 16, all right. Whosoever heareth shout the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh must not delay. Now the door is open. While you may, Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Somebody who's under 10 years old, quote me a verse that has whosoever in it. Whosoever. I know one that almost everybody knows, yeah?
John 3:16.
All right, can you quote John 3:16? Stand up and say it loud and clear.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
That's perfect. Whosoever will. That means, what does whosoever mean? What does whosoever mean?
Anybody.
Anybody. That's right. That means me. We read a song, we have a song that says, that means me. That means me. Is that what we just sang? No. Okay. I'm going to ask God to help us. Because I really need his help. We want to glorify him today. We want to lift up the name of Jesus, give the gospel, and tell all of us how to be saved and how important is the truth of God. Let's ask for his help. Lord Jesus, we're coming before you in a great amount of dependence because we cannot do what you have asked us to do in our own power. We need our God help to display the Lord Jesus and to glorify him this morning, to lift him up so that our hearts would be drawn to him, and that anyone who is not saved in this room, and there may be many, would receive him and learn to appreciate who he is. Oh God, we ask your help in the name of the Lord Jesus that he would be lifted up this morning. We pray in his name. Amen. Now I would like to talk some about true, things that are true, all right? But before I do that, I want to know if anybody knows the verse. Sometimes we get a Sunday school paper and want to get one. When we go out, we're all going to exit this way. And there's going to be Sunday school papers given out. And sometimes in Sunday school, there's a verse that says memory verse. And we put it in our memory. Anybody know the memory verse today? Some of us have been away, and some of us haven't read the paper, and some of us. In the Sunday school where I go in Montreal, Mr. Arndt says, "Who read the paper?" And he has a little treat, you know. And he says, "Now what happened?" And he quotes something from the paper last week, and you know, nobody, they're just guessing. All of them. Always guessing. Gloria, you know, you should read the paper. If you read the paper, you're going to get a prize every week because nobody else does. No, just guessing. You know, we hand these papers out and they're good to read. They're very interesting sometimes and not so interesting other times, but they always have the truth of God in them. And it tells us about the Lord Jesus, and it tells us what we need to know in order to get along, in order to be saved. And there's always a memory verse, and those are good things to learn. You know, I never liked to memorize very much when I was a child, and you can probably relate to this. We had a Sunday school treat in Denver, and all the kids would get up and they'd memorize stuff and roll it off. And I remember one Sunday I just made myself sick. I actually got a fever, and I was so upset because I didn't like memorizing. Now, I have kids that memorize chapters every summer, and probably your parents get you to memorize stuff too, eh? What chapter have you memorized? Wow, that's good. John 10 and Psalm 100. There's so many different wonderful things we can memorize. And if you ever get to a position where you don't have your Bible, and that could come someday, you'll have those memories of what God has said in your mind. And when we present the gospel to other people, you meet a friend or someone at school who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, what do you quote to him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It comes to mind. The Spirit of God uses what you memorize and what you read and what you hear and what you understand and what you walk in to present Christ to others. So let's try and remember things. So nobody knows the memory verse? Aha, good. Good. Do you know where it's found? 1 Timothy 1:15. Good. Does anybody else know it? Yes.
1 Timothy 1:15.
Perfect. All right. Anybody else? Yes. First Timothy 1:15. That's good. Christ Jesus came into world to save sinners. And another part in John, or in Luke, I think in chapter 3, the Lord Jesus, or chapter 4, the Lord Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not people who think they're good, because they'll never come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, as long as they think they don't have a need. I came to call sinners. How many people here are not sinners? Not one. How many people here are sinners? Everybody. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's right. So, if everybody here is a sinner, then everybody here needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'd like to talk about truth. What color is my shirt? Why? Is that true? How do you know?
Because it is.
Okay. What's this?
Fan.
It's a fan. And what happens when you stand below it?
Yeah,
you get some cool air, eh? How do you know?
Because
is it true? It's true. Yeah, I'm standing here, and I get some cold air. A little bit cool. It's not very cool. What's this sign say?
Exit.
Exit. What's it mean?
Exit.
Go out this way. So if I went out here, I see a couple of doors. I could get outside. Is it the truth? That sign is the truth. Now, some things are easy. Some truths are easy. You can see what color of shirt I wear. And you can know that when you stand under the fan, you're going to get some cool air. Right? Now, let's do something a little harder. I was at a gospel meeting once. And you tell me if what I'm saying is the truth or not. I was at a gospel meeting once, and while we were singing, the fellow who was standing up here leaned down and tied his shoes. that true? Is that true?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because he did it.
Yeah.
I saw him.
You saw him too. We were both there. We were all there. We saw him tie his shoes. Is that true, John? Okay. So there's the truth. We saw something happen, and we all agree that it actually did happen. Now, here's something that maybe only a couple people will know. Last night, we asked for a pillow and an extra blanket for a bed we had in our apartment. And I called and asked, and they called back and said, okay, we're bringing it. And there was a knock on the door, knock, 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 knock. And it opened the door, and there was a big, big lady there standing in a bathrobe, a big white bathrobe. And she said, may I come in? Yeah, sure. Come on in. I got your pillow and a blanket. So she came in and she gave us a pillow and a blanket. And she left. Is that true?
No, I don't know if it's true.
Okay. Is that true? Maranatha, is that true?
Yeah.
How do you know? You were there. You saw it. It's true. It actually happened. A lady in a bathrobe came in and brought us a big white bathrobe. Came in and brought us our pillow and blanket. You know it's true. Now we're going to go a little deeper. Sometimes the things we see are true, and sometimes they're not so true. Now, when I was a child, we didn't have a television. But I remember watching the neighbor's television. Out of the western sky comes Sky King. I sit down and watch Sky King. Was it true? Sean?
I don't know.
Was the story I saw on television true, you think? Yeah. Probably not. Probably not. It was just a made-up story. So sometimes the things we see, even though we see them, they're not true. You might watch the news and see somebody fall out of a building many stories during a commercial. Would it be true? Not necessarily. Sometimes we don't know what's true. In fact, they're having to make digital pictures with signatures on them so that you know that any pixel in that picture has ever been changed or not. We used to look at pictures and say, oh, that's probably true. But then we can go to the supermarket and see these funny pictures on these magazines that say so-and-so had a lamb for a baby or all kinds of ridiculous stuff. And they actually have pictures, right? There's really a picture there of something that was supposed to have happened. It's just a lie, just an utter lie. And because there's a picture, they expect you to believe it. So we can't always believe what we see. How do we know what's true? How do we know what's true? Maybe everything that we taste is good. You know, I like sugar. Have you ever eaten ice cream? What makes it good, you think?
Sugar.
Sugar, yeah. Now, I was to the store this morning. I was looking for some cereal, and I had four choices at the 7-Eleven. And the first two ingredients on those four choices was these. Either cornmeal and sugar were the first two ingredients, or sugar and cornmeal, or sugar and rice, or rice and sugar. Now, if I picked up a box of, what's that one with the tiger on it? Frosted Flakes. That's it, Frosted Flakes. And I looked at the back and says, these are the exercises you should do, and you can give yourself 5 stripes for these exercises and 5 stripes for those exercises, and always eat your Frosted Flakes, because they're good for you. Is that true? They taste good. In fact, you know, I can buy sugar pretty, pretty cheaply. We could maybe just buy a bag of sugar, and we're going to stay here for a week, you know. And for, you know, $10, we could buy a bag of sugar and just eat it. It's good. Tastes good, eh? Is it good for you? No, Paul says no. It's not good for you. It's not true. Just because it tastes good doesn't mean it's good. And we can get fooled. We can get fooled by the advertisements in the back. And we can get fooled by the way it tastes. We can get fooled by what we see. We can get fooled by what we feel. Just because it feels good, does that mean it's good for you? Not necessarily. What's truth? I read the other day that they're making it illegal to teach in school about ID.
Intelligent design.
Thank you. What's intelligent design? What are they trying to say here? Intelligent design when it comes to the things we see around us, the trees and the animals and yourself. Intelligent design. Why is it illegal to teach intelligent design? What are they saying, intelligent design? Does anybody know? Can you tell me? What's it mean, intelligent design? Can you tell me? Creation. That's what it means. Creation. Not allowed to teach intelligent design. Because God is the intelligent one, and he has put together every leaf, every blade of grass, every animal, every cell with a purpose and with a design. I was at the airport a couple of years ago with a friend of mine, Harold Smith, and we were watching the planes come in. We're standing at a window, and a seagull came by and landed very nicely on the roof. And you know what he said to me? It's amazing, you know. It took 100,000, you know, so many thousands of hours to build this big clunky plane. But this bird, he just fell together. Millions of years just fell together. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make sense. That bird didn't fall together. God created them. There was an intelligent design there. And when he landed so nicely, we can't build planes like that. We got to build planes that are stiff with big engines and make them go. And when they land, they go like, boom. And you're wondering if you're going to make it or not. Right? Oh, there's a certain amount of intelligence there, but it's not God's intelligence. What's the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's truth. It's absolutely true. Sometimes we don't know where to find the truth. If we look around and if we got rid of this book, you know, they took this book out of our schools. So you're not to teach from this book, and you're not to teach intelligent design. And if you listen to the radio, to the talk shows, you know, you hear people talking and they're blabbering on, and they say the stupidest stuff because they've taken this book and they've set it aside. And they've decided to do what feels good, what seems right. And it's nuts. It's not the truth. Satan has come in with lies so that they don't understand even what's of God. This book has the truth in it. The absolute truth of God. I was talking to one of our neighbors. I had the privilege to talk to one of our neighbors the other day. And she talked about the Bible full of stories, but like there's nothing true here. But is that, she also said, I believe in Jesus and I pray to him every night. I'm like you, except I don't go to church. What do you think? Is this lady saved? Does she know the Lord Jesus as her Savior? Here she speaks about a book full of stories. aren't necessarily true, and about a Lord Jesus who probably had a relationship with somebody and was kind of a sinner too. And but she says, I believe in Jesus and I pray every night. There's something wrong here. Do you think that lady's saved? Do you think she knows Jesus as her Savior? You know what the problem is? She doesn't read the Bible. I took her Bible the other day and I said, read it, start reading in John. She actually did. And she called Nancy's light. He's the light. What does that mean? Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. What do you think Jesus is the light mean? Anybody put your hands up? What does Jesus is the light? He gives us understanding. He opens up the word to us. He shows us the truth. Jesus is the light. It's like turning on this thing here. When you turn it off, the darkness comes in. When you turn it off, the darkness disappears. And without this book, without the truth that's in it, we're going to be in darkness. And we're not going to know what's happening. She has all kinds of ideas, you know. You talk to somebody who's not saved, they have all kinds of ideas that aren't based on this book and are wrong. You know, they think that two ladies can raise up children. And it's quite legal for two ladies to raise up children as if they're in a married relationship. But then, you know, when they have these children, they raise up and who's my daddy? Who's my daddy? And so they have a new industry where you take and you have to find the DNA of the child so you can match it with the DNA of somebody because they don't know who their daddy is. All they ever had was two mommies. Isn't that awful? It's because they put this book aside. It's the truth. There's a little word I'd like to talk about today, if I haven't done enough talking. It goes like this. I can't write upside down, so. Some of you can't see that. What's that word? Can you tell me? Verily. What does verily mean? Truth. That's right. You know, sometimes when I was little, and I've wondered this for years, sometimes there's verses in the Bible that say, verily, verily. Who can quote me a verse that says, verily, verily?
Verily, verily, say it to you.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's the one I thought of too. It's hard to get it all the way out sometimes. I don't remember. Anybody remember a verse that starts verily, verily? You don't have to be a child for this one. Come on, folks. Verily, verily.
You must be born again.
There you go. John 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. I lost my notes of all my verily, verily. You know what I think about verily, verily? The Lord Jesus is saying this.
On the back of the paper. No, on the back of the paper.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, I did have some. That's a map.
Oh.
That truly took us to our hotel. It was a true map. Gave us the right direction. Verily, verily. You know what I think it is? This is a true truth. This is a true truth. This is something you've got to think about a little bit. It is beyond what you might hear in the world. It's beyond what you might hear at school. This is something you're going to have to think about. Verily, verily, this is a true truth. Let's look at one of those. Paul just quoted one in John chapter 3, we find a lot of verily, verilys in John. Let's go to John chapter 3, and I want somebody to read it to me who has left them chance.
Okay. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Who's good? Okay.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Good. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what's wrong with us? We have a nature that loves to sin. We have a nature that loves to do the bad stuff. Wrong things. And in the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus came, God worked with a certain people called Israel that he raised up for himself, and he gave them a certain number of rules. He said, if you do this, you're going to live. You're going to have a prosperous life. Just do these things. There's a few things here. And he named 10 specific commandments, and there were quite a few other little things that God asked them to do. So they were supposed to do that, and they'd have life. But the problem is, and we read all the way through the Old Testament, the problem is they wouldn't do those things. It was very simple. Just do this, and you're going to live. The problem is that they have the same nature that I have. They love to do their own thing. In fact, that's what sin is. It's disobedience to God. It's doing something that God hasn't asked me to do. Doing something that, what was the first sin? Can anybody remember what the first sin is? Between a man, there was a lady, and there was a Satan. Okay.
When they eat of the fruit.
Yeah, they ate of the fruit that God told them not to eat of, didn't he? Satan tempted the lady, and she ate, and she gave of her husband to eat, and he ate too. They did something that God told them not to do. That was the first sin. So I have a nature that loves to sin. I really do. I got that from Adam. But for me to have new life, it says, verily, verily, this is a truth you got to think about. This is absolutely a true truth. You must be born again. You got to have a new life, and the new life that the Lord Jesus gives you cannot sin. In fact, in John 3:16, we read about everlasting life. That's a life that didn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. It's God's life. And for me to be saved, I need that life. I need to have that life. And how do I get it? That's the question. Let's read some more verily, verily. How about John 5? Verse 24. Can somebody read John 5:24 for me? You guys are answering all the questions. Is there anybody here who knows more than they do? Anybody? Can you read John 5:24 for me? Yeah, it's nobody else, it's you.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into contact.
That's right. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now, there's a little bit more to this word hearing than we kind of think about. He that heareth my word. One day I said to Jordan, Jordan, could you please do please dry the dishes? Okay, Pa. 20 minutes later, the dishes still aren't dry. Jordan, did you hear me? Okay, Pa. And then he's up. He's drying the dishes. He that heareth my word, does it mean just going in here and coming out there? Is that what it means? He that heareth my word. He that heareth my word. What does it mean? It means we have to hear it and obey it. It has to mean something to us. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now there's a him and a me. Who's the him that sent and who's the me? Okay? Who's the him?
God. Who's the me? Let's listen to the verse. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. This was said by the Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's right. God is the him, and the me is the Lord Jesus. So we have to believe in God who sent the Lord Jesus. It says, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. What's condemnation? That's what happened when I said, Jordan, did you hear me? Right? What's condemnation, Glory? It's disobedience, and then somebody says, you did the wrong thing. Shall not condemn into condemnation. We're all sinners, and we come easily into condemnation until we receive everlasting life. And when we receive that new life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, then we're saved, and we're not going to come into condemnation. The people who haven't received the Lord Jesus as their Savior will come into condemnation. And what will that mean for their eternity? My eternity, I know, will be spent in heaven. What happens if you come into condemnation? Where will you spend your eternity in that case? Can you tell me? Where will you spend eternity if you come into condemnation? Yes. That's how we don't like to say it loud, because it is a very awful place to have to spend eternity. And that's the only place that we can go if we haven't received what God has done. Remember how I said God set the Lord Jesus up for his target? To receive the judgment of my sins on the cross. And that's so for anybody. And if they refuse that, what other option is there? God had to do that to his son in order to get me to come. He had to do that. Is there any other option? There isn't any other option, or God would have taken it. In order to get me to come, to be in glory with him, to be in heaven, to have my sins forgiven, to be able to be in the presence of a holy and a righteous God who cannot have sins in his presence. There was only one way to do it. And he did it by punishing his son for my sins, his holy son for my sins. If there was any other way that could be done, he would have probably done it differently, but he didn't. So if you don't receive that salvation that God has given us, if you don't take it to yourself, say, I believe in what Jesus has done on the cross for me, then there's condemnation that's left. Hell. That's all there is left. God created hell for the devil and his angels. That's the only place there is to go for those who have not received that work that Jesus did on the cross for themselves. They have not believed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then there's only one place. It's a place of condemnation. No salvation left. It's a place of condemnation, a place where punishment is endured. The Lord Jesus received your punishment already on the cross. I see I'm losing my audience, so it's time to stop. But I hope the gospel was clear, and I hope this word is clear too. So you won't be confused like me as you read the Bible and you see, verily, verily, it's a very important thing. This is a true truth. Here's the word of God. It's absolutely true. And you'll never be able to live your life without it. Value it. Memorize it. I'm speaking to myself here. Bring it home. Walk in it. Listen to it. hear it. You'll be a testimony to the world around who's on their way to hell. And you'll lift up Christ and display him in this world as you take this book and look and believe in, walk in it. It's not just full of stories. There are a lot of stories here, but they're all true, or all absolutely true. You know what happens when you read these stories? In the light of knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can look at them and you can see, oh, that's what God was doing. You begin to understand the heart of God and the life and the desires that he has. The reality of judgment and the reality of salvation. All of these stories show out who the Lord is and who, what his heart is like. And what his desires are like. They reveal Christ. You know, this book is truth. I like this. This book is truth. It's the truth defined. What is the truth displayed? This book is the truth defined. Who is the truth displayed? You tell me. Who is the truth displayed? Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Here's the truth defined. So I wonder how I'm going to walk in the good of this book. How am I going to do this? What are we going to do? We've got to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to follow what he did. In John 1 it says he was full of grace and truth. Beautiful. Beautiful. How am I going to walk in the truth of this book? Look at Christ. Look at Christ. He was the absolute perfect truth of God in person. The truth of God in person. That's how it's walked. That's how it's lived. By looking at Jesus. Living like he did. And how do we do that? We have new life. We've got to be born again. He's given us new life. Now we can do that. Full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who has displayed it in such beauty and grace. We ask your blessing upon what was said. For each of our hearts, we say this, Father, and ask you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.